Welcome, friends, to the Beaver Dam and to this damn fine discussion. It's going to be our first episode of this. It'll be our fun little podcast. I'm here with the man, the myth, the legend, Lumar. Is it Plumar? Is that how it's... Oh, I'm on the other side. Lumar. Is that how it's pronounced? Tell me.
Yes. Yes, Lumar. Hey, everybody. You might recognize me from YouTube chat, Twitch chat. Fellow damn fine member among you all. And I'm happy to be here with the man of many metaphors, the Rabbit Beaver.
Yes,
thanks for coming.
We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna, you know, start off talking about some Swago, talk about some general Star Wars, you know, that kind of thing, and have a good time. And there's actually a lot to talk about right now. We got a lot of stuff going on in the game. Sometimes when it comes to video game news, you're kind of like making stuff up as you go along, where you're just like, oh yes, look guys, there might have been something that's leaked, but no, there's actually a lot going on right now. So very excited to talk about it.
It definitely can be desert, or you're flooded with content all of a sudden. It can be a little extreme. So Enoch Kit dropped yesterday. I think that's the most recent thing we've got talking about. Really gives us that bigger picture of what Imperial Remnants is going to look like for being their own team instead of Dark Trooper Moff Gideon kind of stealing best picks and leaving the rest to kind of the wayside or for Imperial Troopers as is. So
definitely a cool faction. I definitely think the whole Iden Versio idea is really interesting that they're doing, where they're cutting things out. I'm curious how much it's actually going to cut things out, because we've seen in the past, like, for instance, DTMG is technically better with Dark Trooper. Like, he does great things with Dark Trooper. It just destroys the Veers team. And so I'm very curious if we're going to get the same kind of thing where it's like, yeah, technically the Dark Trooper doesn't actually work with this. Like, it specifically says non-droid, but it doesn't break the lead. Like, it just makes it so it can't get the, what is the new thing, decay?
Decayed ability,
He can't get decayed, so, like, obviously, it's going to be problematic.
Which is a big part of the team,
But if you can get one person to die off, then all of a sudden they're taunting, and maybe your Dark Trooper never gets hit, and you can just end up playing off of that.
Possibly. I think CG does a pretty good job of, in some ways it sucks when you see a new meta team pull something away from something else, like Dark Trooper getting pulled in two different directions. In some ways it's nice where for example, I don't even have Imperial Trooper, shame on me. I know. One of many PPs. For me, it's, I'm gonna work on that, have that team up. But like, I missed Dark Trooper Moff Gideon. I was taking a break in the game at the time. So then you've got somebody who has that team going, that new Imperial Remnant team, they've got, maybe they are pulling him. So then what do you do with the leftovers? Which ones go to Iden? I think Imperial Troopers is one example of, it's cutthroat, dude. It's cutthroat between all those teams. And Imperial Remnant is not, it's helping with new characters, but it's not helping at the same time.
Yeah, they only gave us three of the five. Already it was like looking like if you wanted to make two Imperial Trooper teams and one Imperial Remnant teams, you had to grab like the Imperial Troopers under Veers, where you just do the three main ones and then you add in like the Imperial Super Commando and Gar Saxon, because it's a disgusting combo that can fight more than Imperial Troopers. But then you're breaking up like Mandalorians, and so
do you have Maul, and are you using Maul with Lord Vader? It's the cyclical meta that keeps us all entertained in some ways, right? But no, overall cool looking kit. Happy to see people get their hands on it and see what it can do.
I'm actually surprised of the free-to-play friendliness of it. So as someone who does not have DTMG but is still going to Ahsoka because of the content reasons, I can go in there and feel good, because like, I've been sitting here and I'm like, I have a Night Trooper and I have a Death Trooper Peridia that is sitting in my roster doing nothing. And now that Enoch, knocks out the DTMG combos and things like that, I can be like, oh, I get a team out of this and I'm not feeling behind. So it's now
worth it.
Yeah, it feels much more worth it, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I wasn't sure if you had Dark Trooper Moff Gideon, so it's definitely a conquest units can sometimes be the maker new meta, or it can be comfy, just depending on, you know. For him, it's about territory wars, which territory wars is necessary.
I don't even know if it's necessary. That's the problem, is everyone's so competitive about it.
The new assault battle. Yeah. Maybe less necessary than it used to be.
Yeah, like it's becoming increasingly like less important because the rewards just don't keep up. Anyway, we're getting off topic, but yeah, Territory off Wars topic, is its own beast. We'll talk about that on a different day.
Another topic for another time. Yeah. But obviously Imperial Remnants, they're required for Geel Ahsoka, as you were talking about. So, you know, new requirements being dropped. You dropped that video about the Relic 9 cat. Big oof, man. Big oof.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, with the Imperial Remnants, with like the connections they're making, you may have seen the video that I posted yesterday. I'm thinking they're making another Trinity out of, you know, the Imperial Remnant faction with Sith Eternal as well as SLKR. We'll see what happens, but they're pushing a lot into this stuff and I'm really curious where they're going with it.
Yeah, I definitely like the idea of, I loved the coining of the concept that everybody came up with, the Rebel Trinity, with the idea of these three things, they just lead into each other really well. It's a good, efficient strategy. I do hope that there is more synergy with the rest of the requirements. They keep up with that trend, relatively speaking, whether that's just because they're the meta for those squads or if it's just because of common tags.
It makes sense because of like common people, because like Ahsoka has so much in common throughout her journey with Obi-Wan and Anakin for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And so like the bougie bunch just makes sense to put requirements that work together with them, and they all are very expensive GLs to get. So
yes.
Yeah, on multiple levels they work. You've got the Rebels where it's the Holy Rebel Trinity where it's easy to get characters, and then you have the bougie bunch where it's pain after pain after pain.
Yeah, definitely the what you set your eyes out on typically after a Rebel Trinity farm, assuming you were really invested in lightspeed bundles. Again, another topic for another time. Let's not open the can of lightspeed bundles. Let's quickly talk about probably what isn't talked about nearly enough, is Epic Confrontation Baylan and the new Merc tag that's already confirmed. But, you know, what does it mean? Are they going to do it to exclude them from UFU teams? Are they using it? Is it going to be more spread out? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
So we talked a bit about this before we started filming, of the idea of them spraying out kind of like the Hutt Cartel tag, where, you know, Boba Fett didn't have the Hutt Cartel tag, but then he was given the Hutt Cartel tag. And so like there's a possibility of that. As we were talking about that, you said you're going through some people. What were your thoughts as to who could be added if it was just to grab random people in the game and give them the merch?
Yeah. I think for me, like Hutt Cartel was very black and white. Like were they a member of it? Did they participate or not? I think mercenary is a little bit more of a gray area. No pun intended there. But for me, you know, Hondo Ohnaka, and really anybody who they're in it for the money and they really couldn't care less about your politics, you're paying the most, you know, that, you know, slightly differs from like bounty hunters. So like Hondo, I think Grief and Mando technically could fit in that slot. Cad Bane, I think, and Jango Fett are great examples. Jango working for the Separatists. He doesn't, I think, really care about the Separatist agenda. He's just there because he's getting paid. Same thing with Cad Bane and Book of Boba Fett. Spoilers. I know. But yeah, and then we had this discussion, a preemptive question. I couldn't find any for me. You know, Baylan and his apprentice, they're mercenaries and they're UFUs, or I assume they're going to be UFUs. But I really didn't see any other potential Force users that I thought would be a good fit. So what was on your list, or how does you compare to me?
I have two UFUs for you.
And okay, two alone. Okay, hit me with your UFUs.
UFUs. The UFUs. Asajj Ventress was a bounty hunter, mercenary, just trying to survive. And so I feel like she could fit in that tag. Problem is, it's going to take away from Night Sisters. And then another one that I could see, and the problem is it also takes away from a team, is Mara Jade. A lot of people don't know the background of Mara Jade, but post episode 6, she was working with a scoundrel faction and just being a smuggler and helping out a scoundrel faction that was mostly based on selling information. And so she kind of fits that bill with Mara Jade being an unaligned force user as well as having that mercenary idea. The problem is, I think both of these take from other factions. And I'm thinking this might actually be a misrepresentation of the truth, is the best way I'm going to put it. kind of like how with Death Trooper Peridia and with Night Trooper, they have specific callouts to Night Sisters, but yet that's just specifically to make the two of them more viable in the team. I'm thinking the mercenary tag might in fact be Balin Skull and his apprentice have the mercenary tag to give them more synergy and give them more, and then he still takes on other Dark Side Unaligned Force users, and then Kat brings in the new Ahsoka Tano GL brings in all of the Light Side Unaligned Force users and takes whoever's left. So I'm thinking Malakos will go with Balin, that kind of thing. So I think overall, I think the mercenary tag might be just a fun little tag they're throwing in to increase synergy between a couple characters. But it's possible that we see more. Problem is, most of the characters I'm looking at, I'm like, you're taking away from other teams. Like, Hondo's the only one that feels like you could just pull him, and even then, he just feels less like a mercenary. Like, he's scum, but he's not a mercenary.
he's neutral, right? I think the difference is he doesn't work for, he's not willing to politically align himself for money. He wants the independence. I think he's probably more like a pirate, right? He finds a lot of joy and pride out of his job occupation, as you can see in his various appearances. So yeah, probably maybe Hondo and Naka's not quite that list. I'd say Mara Jade, which was cool. I didn't know that. Son of Staros, I feel like, could fit that bill where, you know, Son of Staros is supposed to be your own team, but it's kind of a team that really hasn't held up well over time, much to my chagrin. You know, I do enjoy that team. We'll see. I'm excited to see the future of that.
Yeah.
So let's switch gears. And we have a segment on this show that we want to talk about a specific character. Rabbit Beaver, do you want to hit us with what the character is this session?
Yes. And so from here on out, we'll be doing a character highlight. So it'll be one character that we kind of focus on the mods, where you can use them, you know, all that kind of stuff, and just talk about them. And hopefully if they are viable or how you could make them viable. And so if there's one that you want us to go over, throw it in the comments section. We'll take a look and we'll find one that you guys put out, and we'll consider doing it next time. So, you know, maybe it's Wampa, or maybe you want to hear more about Cup or Ugnaught, who knows? Or it could be you just want to know how to use your, you know, Leia with the best 5v5 team you can. Who knows? Throw it in the comment section. We'll talk about it.
Please.
Yes, going over today's, we're going to go over Gas. This is a character that we have a lot of them sitting in people's rosters. Gas is one that we had a Lightspeed bundle for, but no one has the Zetas to invest, because to invest into Gas, you end up with... we've already right there with it.
Real guilty high five over here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 6 out of 7 stars.
Yeah, because you end up with... Not only do you have to invest, get... what is it? Get 2 currency?
Get 1 and Mark 2 raid currency.
There it is. It's the opposite, yes. Get 1 and Mark 2 raid. Like, it's already expensive there.
It's killing my gear.
And then you've got Kyrotex for, like, the characters you can finish, like Padme and Gas. Then you have 4 Zetas on Gas himself. And, like, what is that? Like, 10 Zetas on his overall team? So, like, you're ending up with just way too much investment for most people that can afford. But when you do get them up, regardless of how many Zetas you have, there's a couple places you can use them. And so I do want to kind of give an idea of that. So we're going to talk about him for today. So first things first, his overall teams. When it comes to teams, there's several different ones, and the most obvious one is the 501st. Are you building your 501st yet, Lumar, or are you kind of waiting until you have Gas?
Right now, I'm going to be going for an alternate take on more of a JML probably vibe, because I don't have Kenobi, but I do have JML. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say when we get to the mod part, because I know that from what little I do know about Gas is he works completely differently with 501st, his leadership versus how he works outside of that. So
yes. So overall, like you mentioned, JML, JMK, those are the other two ways that you can use him in teams. And so he's great as a general Jedi. You could throw him with your Keller and Beck if you don't have JML and JMK. Although if you have Keller and Beck and not JML and JMK, I think your name is Rabbit Beaver, because that's what I had. But, you know, hey, wherever you want to use him, he's going to be a great Jedi. And it's, as he said, very different when you use him him place to place, because when you're using him with the 501st, he's basically how he is in the Clone Wars. He is the center of attention. He's trying to take the attention. So he'll be taunting, and then as soon as he loses all of his protection, he kneels and he does a meditation. He takes a nap, as everyone calls it. And then after that, then you can start focusing his clones and they can actually lose health. And so then you have some time to kill off clones. Every time someone's taking a turn, he regains protection. If it's an ally, it's more protection. If it's an enemy, less protection. Eventually he'll stand back up and then you have to go through him again if you didn't kill off all the clones. So it's a rough team to go up against, but there's a couple extra parts to it. And so like when you're building him, you want offense and then defense, just because the defense helps you keep him up. Offense gives him a little bit more power as he hits. But part of his leadership ability is that every time enemies gain a buff, everyone on the team gains 2% offense stacking permanently. And so the team gets supercharged as time goes on, or in much less time, depending on the team you're going against. For instance, Quadme, the reason he's a Quadme counter is because they flood themselves with so many buffs that it's just like, oh yeah, Quadme takes a turn, all of a sudden Gas has a plus 60% offense on all of his allies. And so it just builds up way too fast and ends up just destroying people. But you mod him with all your primaries being protection, because you want him to stay standing as long as you can. You want to make sure your clones don't die off. And so that's his whole shtick, is just tons of protection, offense, defense is the set bonuses. And it's just essentially just trying to keep him up as long as you can. But when it comes to these teams, JML, JMK, it's not much of a change. You just switch his arrow to speed, and then you switch his triangle to crit damage, and then cross to offense. You're just basically remodding him just to be
more offensive.
Yeah, hard damage dealers essentially, because he hits like a freight train, and on top of that he has that little addendum, if you have his unique Zeta, where every time he uses an ability on someone who doesn't have protection, it reduces their max health by 10%. And that just continues to happen. And he uses two abilities per turn. And so that's why your guys just suddenly die off. That's why he's able to kill Malgus, because he gets rid of Malgus's protection. And then he just starts reducing Malgus's max health over and over again until it's just a one tap and he's gone. Same with, you know, you look at when he takes down Malak, same idea. Malak's super weak to gas because Malak is just health. He doesn't have protection. And so you just keep reducing his max health over and over again.
Interesting. Wow, I learned that. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew Jedi Knight Luke had that with his repulse, but I wasn't familiar with gases having something similar. That's cool.
Just like Jedi Knight Luke, his is only Galactic Legends. That was part of the great nerf. You know, they dropped it off of Galactic Legends, which makes sense because doing it to Galactic Legends is really broken. He could counter multiple Galactic Legends back then. So but there is a team we want to talk about that's a little interesting. That's a way that a lot of you could be using this team. That not a lot of people are talking about. I know Arnold made a video about it, but people aren't really talking about how much it affects the team. And that is Gas with Quadme. You use Quadme as a fifth. And so if you don't have the time, you don't have the resources to get up your overall, you know, Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, maybe you're in the middle of a farm or something and you need a place for your Quadme you just unlocked, Gas is actually an excellent place for it. Not only does it just supercharge the team overall, when it comes to like things like the Sith Eternal counter, where Sith Eternal, you know, does his little sucky suck and he takes away the protection of Gas, which means he's just going to stay permanently down. Quadme gives, what is the ability? Is it Queen's Protection? Is that what it's called?
Queen's Protection.
Yeah.
Queen's Protection. It acts as a sock counter to Sith Eternal's cheese method.
Yeah, because the Queen's with Queen's Protection, all of your allies gain max protection back, which means that immediately after she takes a turn, after she gains a stack of Queen's Protection, Gas will stand back up. Yes, it's just for a moment, but when he keeps standing back up, it makes it really hard for you to kill off those clones. And so he just continually stands up. It drops the Sith Eternal win rate of a Sith Eternal solo from like 80, 70% to 30, 40%. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Significant. So if you're used to C being your cheap gas counter, it all of a sudden it goes from I've got this in my back pocket to what am I gonna throw against this this now all of a sudden, you know.
Another side one, I don't want to take much time on this one, but just mentioning it, you could always put Krex with Gas as well as a fifth member. It counters the whole CLS cheese that everyone loves to use on Gas. It does take away from the team that you have, though, so it's not going to be very popular in the low end, but in the high end, you know, you're getting to Kyber 2, Kyber 1, I'd see it much more often. But, like, for you, it's for most people, it's probably not going to be the thing that people do unless they have an insane amount of teams lying around.
Sure.
So, yeah. But going back to that Quad May, the Quad May team is insanely important, but I know next to nothing about it. Let's take a brief second and just talk about Quad May. Lumar, you know more than me.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a Relic 5 Quad May. Definitely going to be getting her up for the raid and just for defensive GAC. Gas is indeed a good counter for her, but she's, her and the Queen's Men, and they've been performing really, really well. I'll be interested to see how they do post-Datacron. Now that the Powercron will be going away after the next set of Datacrons come, the next Conquest, I believe.
The Powercron sucks. I hate it.
It's an interesting notion. I don't want to derail it, but the Marquee Datacrons are one of the ways they can incentivize whales while also benefiting the whole player base with the new Marquee structure. It's a interesting compromise. That's as much as I'll say right now. So yeah, Quad May, new assault battle. People are really gunning for him. I've got a rank 9 pay to win. I got a Relic 8 Poncho Qui-Gon. Trying to hit 9 before the next assault battle comes. I want my return on investment as quickly as possible. In threes, they're extremely strong. But what about 5v5 this upcoming season? What do you do for the fourth and fifth member? Well, you typically fall into two schools. Do you want to pull from existing teams, or do you want to try to find something left over? Shock Troopers has been a real big staple team for lower accounts into mid-game. It tends to fall off pretty harshly in the end game. And so Shock T has been a really popular one for a lot of people. The buff dispel on basic, dispelling all the debuffs on special one. She's got a great kit, synergizes fantastically to keep your Quad May team pumping, keeping them going. The fifth member, it's really up to debate. And the way I like to think of it is, do you have Bad Batch or do you have Leia? And if you have neither, you probably have R2 up and running. You may or may not. If you have R2 up and running, if you have Leia, you're obviously going to use him with Leia. It's arguably one of the most powerful Galactic Legends. If you don't have Leia, like me, for example, I'm still going for Leia. R2 is a fantastic addition for Quad May, boosting their offense, really helping what is usually a very defense HP heavy, very thick team, to give them a little more oomph, especially Mr. Pay-to-Win. If you don't want to break that up, a lot of people are enjoying Echo, or they'll even pull two people from Bad Batch. And again, this is more towards endgame folks who aren't using Bad Batch as much anymore, because kind of like Imperial Troopers, it's getting to the point where there's only so many slots in GAC, there's only so many people to attack, and Bad Batch is kind of getting locked out these days. So those are the two loose groups I tend to say is, do you have Leia? Cool. Are you using R2 for anything? Use R2. If you have Leia, why not maybe pull some Bad Batch, some Shock T? What Galactic Republic do you have lying around? Maybe you don't have JMK. Maybe Mace Windu is a decent pick. Who are you getting up for requirements?
I remember when I was going through the insights on the GAC insights, the most common one I've been seeing has been, excluding Datacrons, of course, because there was like the whole, what was it, like the tech Datacron, and so everyone was using tech like permanently. If you have the pay to win, it shifts things slightly. But Barriss Offee was a very common fifth that I saw.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, and she's a great plug and play into a lot of different teams. She's good
for Starkiller.
Yep, Starkiller, Jedi Master Luke. If you are trying to throw Jedi Master Luke on defense, you have to put Barriss. Otherwise, the team falls apart. And so,
her kid is.
Yeah, I'm really hoping, and I'm gonna guess, she's Ahsoka Tano Rec. She's gonna be a Relic 5 Ahsoka Tano Rec, because she's just A, she's great, and B, they want to use characters that aren't well grabbed, and she's one of those ones that people just keep putting off because she's not required for anything, and so I could definitely see that happening. And so, yeah, overall, those last two slots, I've also seen C-3PO be pulled for it, and C-3PO is great in that slot, but once again, you're pulling from another team. And so it really just depends on how many teams you have and how high up you are. I 100% think that's true.
are you using CLS every GAC? If not, C-3PO is a fantastic choice. Super versatile unit like R2.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting team. It's a team that one day I'll get her.
Yeah. Yeah, but hey, I mean, you have gas up and running, I assume.
Oh, yeah. So I went for SLKR following Arnold's free-to-play guide when I first started, and then I was like, hey, look, a peepee. And I took a hard peepee going for gas, and I was very happy with it. Because
everybody
it solved,
loves a little peepee.
Yeah, I justified it by the fact that a negotiator fleet counters malevolence. And so, you know, one of your biggest problems with an SLKR push is that you have Finalizer, which sucks against Malevolence. And so I was like, aha, I solved my problem. And then I watched Arnold struggle with Malevolence for months. I was like, haha, I did something smart.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a good call out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that ends the spotlight segment. Hope you guys learned something new. Let's switch gears for a second and let's talk about fixing your damn roster. That's right. This segment, yes. We want to talk about several key issues that Beaver sees a lot. He does roster reviews on stream. You should check that out sometimes. Super helpful. He's helped my account. He's helped countless people with their accounts. If you ever see him live, go check him out there. But Rabid Beaver, what problems are we experiencing that you got to gripe? You got to, you know, really grind your gears. Ooh. You know, lay it on me here.
One of the biggest that I'm actually seeing the last couple of weeks, because like it, you know, it comes in waves. There's one that's always there that's no matter what, and there's a reason we have an emoji for it on the channel, which is relocate your Savage. That's obviously a constant thing, but there's things that are just, they come in waves where I see a whole bunch of rosters that have like the same problem and I'm surprised. And one of the big ones that's been lately is overinvesting in characters that you aren't planning on farming for the next, I've seen as far out as like 2 years. Like I'm seeing Zetas on like gear 8 Raddus, and you're like, so when are you going for Profundity? It's like, oh well, first I have to finish my Supreme Leader Kylo Ren, then I need to finish this, then JML, then Profundity. I'm like, why does your Raddus have a Zeta? Why is it a gear 8? Or like, you know, you'll just see random characters like that where they're just sitting there. And so this isn't just overinvested, underinvested. This is overinvested because you're not going for it anytime soon. And so the general rule I want to put out there is don't overinvest in anything that's not within your current two farms. So you have your current farm, like for instance, right now my current farm is Ahsoka Tano. My next farm is Jedi Knight Cal Kestis for my guild. And so because of that, I'm not going to invest into anything besides the Ahsoka Tano farm and the JKCK farm. Yes.
Right.
And then once I finish Ahsoka Tano, I can then invest into the next farm after that. But stick to the current farm and your next farm. And that's as far as you go.
Right. Don't get excited about Imperial Remnant team if you're not planning on gearing them and getting all the stars and going. Yeah. You're like, I get it. It's exciting. But yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. But also, I'm jealous of anybody who could even think about doing that, because cries and lightspeed bundles is definitely a meme I like saying to myself as I have the next 9 Omicrons and 12 Zetas planned out for my next 5 farms. It's, you know, hilarious and kills me just a little bit.
I mean, I'm sitting here with a Relic 9 Ahsoka Tano with no Zeta.
And that Zeta's good. That's excellent Zeta. But you know, unless you're planning on putting together Padme with some leftover Relic Galactic Republic, or maybe you bought a Lightspeed bundle, it might not be worth it. So you know, just depends. We'll see.
Yeah.
And the next one to go over is Relic your freaking pilots. And this is a bit of hypocrisy because I have a Relic 1 BAM sitting in my roster. I'll admit it. I do. I know I need to finish it.
Shame on you.
The Beaver. Deliver me. How can... I mean, obviously it makes your fleet better, but how? In what way? You know, what can we say to the people watching about why should I relic my pilot? Why should I relic my BAM? Other than Mommy Mandalore. We all know that's the real reason.
Yeah, that's the real reason. Yeah. If you're part of the 2%, you relic 7 your BAM. That's just how it works. You know. But anyways, there's a reason we call him the Datalorian. Anyways.
Yes.
So when it comes to fleets, dude, like, you look at the difference between a Reliced Bossk and a Gear 12 Bossk, and it's the difference between being able to survive basically anything except for healing immunity and just being hit by, you know, something like a Tai Advance and being able to kill it after a couple hits. Like, the amount of protection up you gain back because of how much your stats boost is really obvious. Like, you can go in, you know, you see it when you go in, you're trying to push your roster to 4 million GP, the first thing people tell you is go and put mods on all your pilots. It's because you can watch your GP expand really significantly, because any little bit on a character increases the ship a huge amount, especially with speed and that type of thing. And so by not relicking your BAM, by not relicking your Iden Versio, you're just going to get killed off, and you're not going to have the damage potential you need. A relic Iden Versio, relic 5 Iden Versio, you'll be able to take down a Leviathan really well. A relic 3 Iden Versio like mine, I am struggling with it, and I regret not taking it to 5. As soon as I have an open spot in my farms, I'm bringing her to 5. I've seen people bring in gear 12 and they're like, she works for the executor counter. I'm like, yeah, but the moment you go against Leviathan, she's gonna get stomped, absolutely destroyed. And so those relic pilots are so important for pulling off your off meta, making sure your defense actually works. Like, there's some that you can get away with, like Zori. Zori is like, you know, her comeuppance is meant to come into the field and then Rey just destroys the whole other team, so she doesn't technically need to be super good, but there's so many of these ones that are really, really important. Like Razor Crest is the fleet. Without the Razor Crest, the executor sucks. Yeah, exactly, it's the cornerstone of the fleet. So
for sure, I am also guilty of a very low gear Iden Versio with an Omicron on it. Shame.
Love it.
All right, and last but not least, if you guys go finish your Wampa, you know, we talk about Savage Solo a lot on your channel, on your streams, and you know, it's become a meme because it is a really commonplace, but one that doesn't get as much love because people have to relic him to a certain degree is Wampa. Dude, if you want a Wanga, you got a Wampa. And you got to get that Wampa up. You know, Relic 5, I think, is really the new bare minimum when it comes to if you want Wampa to succeed in, you know, everything up to Kyber. And I even still get use out of him in Kyber 5.
I get use out of him constantly in Kyber 3 and Kyber 2. Yeah. But, like, you look at things like, you know, you go in for the Wampa versus JMK, which is a counter, but it's you've killed off JMK's allies and you got him solo. You bring in your Wampa because when he's solo and when Wampa's solo, you end up with double the stats on your Wampa. So you get the additional stats and then the additional stats again. And so if he's Relic 3, that JMK is going to kill you and it's going to ramp too fast. If you have that Relic 5, it'll give you the time and the amount of damage you need to ramp with him. Bring it up to Relic 7, it's basically guaranteed. But that Relic 3 just does not do the trick in some cases. You're never going to be able to pull off a shot in the dark gas counter or things like that where you're really struggling. You're just going to get shut down. And yeah, absolutely.
For sure. I think it helps people. It's more bang for your buck. Solo characters are, you know, there's not that many in the game, and there's a reason they're lenient. There's a reason they're very slow to introduce more of those. You know, it's a very powerful concept, so I think it carries over well. All right, so for this next one, we actually have a viewer question from the damn community. This is from the YouTube member chat of Beaver's Discord. So every now and then we're gonna ask you guys some questions. We want to see, you know, what you guys, the damn community, is interested in. This first one is from MV. They ask, Snips and Cat are required for Relic 9 for Jill Ahsoka, as we all learned recently. At this point, there could be one Relic 9 per batch of requirements. So, assuming Fulcrum Ahsoka is the third Relic 9 requirement, which I think is not a big ask at this point, who do you think could be the fourth Relic 9 requirement? I want to hear your thoughts, and then I'll let you know mine.
Yeah. Big shout out to MV, the real MVP. Sorry, I had to make that joke.
Wow.
So we're going to actually bring you guys over to this. So this is going to be a little bit different real quick. So let me just make sure that our wonderful Lumar can also see this.
Yes.
There it is. Okay, can you see it?
Yeah.
The sweet game. This is our most expensive character in the game right now for overall GLs. This is Lord Vader. And now if we look at this, they really don't have a specific order when it comes to dropping these characters. You know, you have two Relic 8s down here in this bottom area. You have Relic 8, Relic 7, Relic 7 in this area. You have basically all Relic 5s in this area and then a Relic 8. There's not like a specific cadence. And like, I think that's a big reason why they've done this, where they haven't really announced where things are coming in, where, you know, we're getting like, you know, something from here, something from here, something from here. And that's why they're not like just being like, oh, yeah, we're just going to put this and it'll show you the ones that we've announced so far. And that being said, I feel like with Lord Vader, the most we've gotten in any GL is, besides the four Relic 7s for all the marquee characters, like it's been, we've been getting four expensive things regardless. So you can see it with Leia, you can see it with Lord Vader. I don't think they're going to go over that. There's a chance that they do because CG is money grubbing. but, you know, I don't think it's entirely... Yeah, you got to push to some degree. But, like, I think they're already pushing it with two Relic 9s after our first Relic 9 GL character. I think two Relic 9s is already pushing it. And we already have a Relic 8 from Gas. So I'm going to say there's probably just one more Relic 8. And I'm going to say it's Mommy Mandalore. I'm going to call a Relic 8 Mommy Mandalore as our last high requirement. I don't think we'll get another Relic 9, personally.
Fair enough. So you think next high investment character, if it wasn't Fulcrum, Mommy Mandalore, Bo-Katan Mandalore, for those folks who are wondering who the heck Mommy Mandalore is.
Yes. If you don't know who, that's your own fault.
Yeah, I was literally... yeah. You can go look. That's all I'll say. You know, and for me, yeah, I think Fulcrum Ahsoka is the next obvious pick if they want to continue on the Ahsoka trend. If it wasn't that character, and they were going to do it again, yeah, I'm on the fence about, is it going to be a fourth Relic 9? If they were going to do it, and I was going to pick some other character that's been significant, I would say Barriss Offrey. You know, we actually mentioned her earlier. Talk about a turning point in her arc. Lore relevancy is super high. Again, an amazing character. Hasn't really been required for anything. She's just been kind of one of those Galactic Republic Jedi. She's not in the raid. She's kind of gotten left to the wayside. So, you know, great for Starkiller.
I mean, to be fair, in the raid, she would have been like, what? Like the same age? Younger than Anakin?
Same thing as... Yeah, right. Right, of course. But, you know, for me, it's like, okay, well, Kelleran Beck, you know, it's like, okay, well, he was still in the Jedi Order, so I guess, you know, it fits. But there's always going to be these characters that are like, it's a little weird. But yeah, it's, Barriss Offrey would be my, like, other big pick that I think is in the game. Not a ton of people have her invested. You know, again, CG, they like looking at their spreadsheet. I'm just saying, I don't have Barriss Offrey. I can never say her last name right. Up and running. So, you know, it's I think it'd be a decent pick. So, that's me.
And I think Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum is a little too easy if we were talking about Relic 9, so if I'm being honest, because everyone got 330 shards for Fulcrum. They pushed, you know, oh, this works really good with your unaligned force users and, like, Seer Junda and that kind of stuff. And so I feel like they've already pushed Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum to the point where, like, a lot of people probably have her at like Relic 7 for the solo potential in Territory Wars at first, and then even more people adopted her with the new Omicron, as well as giving 330 shards. So I feel like she's a very adopted character, where it doesn't make sense spreadsheet wise, as you're saying, for her to be required at Relic 9 for this character. So I don't
know. I see your point. Yeah. It's a fun thing to talk about. You know, we it's fun to speculate. It's fun to think about what's coming in the future.
Yes, yeah, don our tinfoil hats, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think it's a mix of not being able to see it and hoping against it. Like, I don't want see more Relic 9s, because two Relic 9s is already insanely expensive. And if they go any farther, this is looking like already I'm getting comments flooding into my videos of just, you know, people being like, oh, yeah, Ahsoka went from being my next GL I wanted to, I'll do her after Lord Vader. And I'm like, that is wild.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, I think based on the reception of just this last Relic 9 requirement, they maybe they planned for this and they're trying to, you know, discourage. And they're, like, being like, okay, mm-hmm. now we're going to release all the easier stuff. But, like, yeah, mm-hmm. it can get messy.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, right? I think just like how the Endor raid kind of treated us almost a little too nicely in terms of character requirements, GL Leia was pretty forgiving. It's possible for a new player to jump in and say, I love Leia, and I'm just going to run straight to Leia. It's maybe it's not the easiest farm for GL, but it's doable. Mm-hmm. Versus, you look at Lord Vader and now GL Ahsoka, even more so, it's a conquest unit, really high relics, you know, new player coming in, unless you whale really hard, it's, you know, see you in 2 years, see you in a year and a half, depending on, you know, what their cadence is going to be for Cat in the future. So,
yeah,
100%. From there, I think it's time to talk about some Star Wars, man.
Yeah, so this is something that's actually been requested quite a bit. So we do member polls where our members get to choose videos that we post, and or rather I post on this channel. And so one of the things that's been requested again and again is just general Star Wars news, talking about general Star Wars news. And there's actually a ton to talk about right now. We just had D23 happen. We had some cool yep. leaks. We had some cool announcements. I'm actually super excited about it. So,
agreed.
What's your favorite part of D23 so far that, like, you've seen?
Out of everything, yeah. I'm most excited about Andor Season 2 officially being confirmed.
I think that's Krennic, like,
and K2SO.
Yeah, you know? I think that can't be beaten out. I just went and rewatched the show in preparation for a song to be coming soon. It was so good.
Yeah. Such a good non-force side of Star Wars, but also just not a typical topic for them. I feel like the ISB, the spy, the espionage, the back and forth. I think they did a really good job of delving into those characters and their personalities, and I'm excited to see what they do with Season 2.
Yeah, and Krennic is such an interesting villain too, because he doesn't feel like a full villain. He just feels like a petty person.
Just a very angry guy.
Yeah, like he's not part of the military. He's a civilian. This has been his baby, his project, and he's just, you know, pissed that other people are taking over it. And I think it makes for a really human bad guy, but it's not the type of human we can, like, vibe with, and more the type of human mm-hmm. we're like, oh, I know if I knew you in real life, I'd hate you just the same.
Punch you on the street if I met you. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's an interesting perspective. Diego Luna, you know, all those actors, they do a cool job. I even read something recently where they were like, they were going to extend it out to multiple seasons beyond a season two. And basically all the actors were like, we're going to be too old by then. Like, it's not going to have the same feel or look, and we don't want to do that. So I like that. I like that they've been taking this direction. I'm hopeful season two is going to be jam-packed if they're trying to condense it. So we'll see. So which other one other than Andor, what would you say is a next one you want to talk about?
So I gotta be honest, I'm a little behind. Like, I don't know much about the whole Lego stuff that came out. Like the Darth Jar Jar. I saw the original trailer when they first announced it.
Yeah, same.
But like that's about it. And honestly, I think it's interesting. I definitely agree with the sentiment. I don't agree with everything he says, but I don't remember the name of the actor, but the guy who plays Kanan being like, people are upset because Star Wars is made for kids and they're currently not kids. And I agree with that sentiment to a degree. And I think that, you know, Lego Star Wars is kind of, in the past for me, it was my childhood. It really was. I played Lego Star Wars constantly on the PlayStation mm-hmm. 2. You know, I loved Lego Star Wars, and then I got some Star Wars Legos. Never really got into it a ton. It's not a huge hobby for me, especially because it's so freaking expensive nowadays.
Yeah.
But it, I think it's really cool that they're kind of adding this idea of the what if kind of stuff. It's something Marvel mm-hmm. did, and I did enjoy the Marvel stuff, and people have been begging for kind of a what if type series stuff for a long time, actually. So
yeah,
I think it's a little medley. Outlandish though.
It definitely fits, you know, Lego Movie's success, and the Lego series, and how Lego's been such a good pivot point for new franchises. Yeah.
No, nothing. I had forgotten I can go outside of my frame, and so my head went outside of my frame. So I was
my ADHD was just like, he's raising his hand. Like, do you have a question, sir? yeah. Don't mind.
How much have you spent over the years on Legos?
Mostly as a kid, I'd probably say a couple hundred in the 90s. Yeah. I mean, I had like a Obi-Wan Kenobi's Jedi ship. I had a bunch of the Clone Wars kits for the most part, because I grew up in the 90s, grew up with the prequels. So that was probably my big one. I think the biggest one that was Lego was the Death Star, and that was a pretty penny. That was a big ask.
Yeah. My dad's always been obsessed with Star Wars ever since he was a kid, and like he had these he was huge into the action figures and that side, and so that's mostly what we got was the action figures. Like we all had our, you know, our 12-inch like Boba Fetts that would sit on our shelves, and like he would have boxes of unopened action figures from like when Episode 1 came out and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was mostly what I got into versus the Legos themselves. So for me, Legos was mostly the games, the video games.
Yeah, I think that's what partly establishes that for the audiences, especially people who have played those games. It's a fun fusion of what's going on in current movies and Star Wars. And hopefully it'll be a good time, get at least a good laugh out of it. Obviously nothing too canon crazy, but it's fun. It's a fun concept, like you said. But to segue, let's talk about Skeleton Crew, because I think one of the common elements that has going for it is, which, by the way, have you been able to watch the trailer? I'm not sure if you saw it yet.
I have not had the time to watch it. Yeah.
Well, let me I'll piecemeal this together for you. It's essentially these kids, they find a mysterious location, ends up being a derelict ship, and they get themselves lost in the galaxy. And I think, and these are mostly children. And for what it is, I think, again, reinforcing this idea of, you know, the fascination of Star Wars when you were young, you as in, you know, the generation of folks, and how that mystery and the beauty of it, and how that can really encapture people. And I think they're really trying to capitalize on that with the Skeleton Crew. They do seem to be hinting at, again, in the trailer, we do see a Jedi-like figure. It's played by Jude Law, amazing actor. Done some really cool stuff, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, am I as feverish for it as Andor? Not even close. Do I think it's, again, another avenue of Star Wars, another story to tell that's interesting? That's maybe a little more atypical? Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be a good time, maybe not the best time, but a good time.
Yeah, and I think it capitalizes on one of the things that I hear most about a lot of the newer shows, which is, regardless of how you feel about a lot of the shows, the exploration of the galaxy is something everyone loves. And so if people loved in the prequels seeing Coruscant, seeing all these different worlds, and like, you know, mm-hmm. you look at Boko Boba Fett, and it feels like very unredeeming because all you see is Tatooine on top of it not being great. But then like, I've talked to people who've gone and watched Acolyte, and they're like, I didn't like the show, but it was really cool to see the parts of the Star Wars universe. And like, it's always been a redeeming quality of Star Wars, where the exploration and these new parts of the galaxy and discovering the galaxy has always been something that people really, you know, key into. So
that literally gave me some like goosebumps there, man. Well said. All right, and then how about you take the last one, because I know you're familiar with this one. So this was the one that I didn't see that you.
Yeah, did. I will be posting this one as a private video for members, but I don't dare put it online just in case Disney gets on my case. But the Mando and Grogu trailer was leaked. We'll see if we get the full version soon. But usually when it comes to D23 kind of stuff, it's like they don't want it out there necessarily. They want it to build hype through, you know, back channels. So Mando and Grogu's trailer came out, and Mando season 3 coming off of it, I didn't love it. I really didn't. I was disappointed.
Okay, hot take. Maybe not so hot take.
I don't think it's so much of a hot take because, you know, with how good season 1 was and then how, you know, how amazing season 1 was, how good season 2 was, and then Mando season 3 was just like, did we really need an episode of Jack Black and Lizzo in Star Wars? Because they're two people that, like, it's like having Matt Damon show up in the Star Wars universe. You wouldn't be able to focus on anything besides the fact that it's Matt Damon in the Star Wars universe. Like, one of the few people I've ever seen pull it off is Solo. What is his name? Woody Harrelson. Yeah, I don't remember his name.
He's a big shot gangster put together. Yeah.
Yeah,
Techno Union.
I don't remember his name offhand, and it's bugging the crap out of me. But yeah, he did a great job. I was like, Woody Harrelson in Star Wars, and then he plays this amazing character that you could definitely see in the Star Wars universe. Same with the bad guy in that same movie. You ended up with Vision from the Marvel movies, and there is the bad guy, and you didn't see him as that because he did such a good job. Yeah. But then when it comes to someone as well known as like Jack Black, it's like, it's just Jack Black, dude.
I love me some Jack Black, but man, that episode was tough to get through.
Yeah,
and I really enjoyed Mando.
So season three was regardless. I watching Mando and Grogu trailer got me hyped, and I was impressed by that. Like the you know, it couldn't tell very easily, obviously, because it's filmed from someone's camera. But like the visuals look really well done. The CGI looks amazing, which is something Mando has always done really well. And then like overall it looks like a compelling story, and it doesn't look like it necessarily, it seems more episodic like the season one of Mando felt, and I liked that a lot. So
yeah, that Wild West narrative vibe that it exuded, that I think was what helped people fall in love with it the way they did.
It was cool seeing it was also cool seeing Zeb finally make his way onto the actual like mainstream of what's happening.
Yeah, kind of explain why he's not in some of the other live show content that other Phoenix Squadron members end up in. And I particularly love the animation for the AT-ST. You know, the different vehicles, they felt really organic. Whoa there.
Oh, AT-RT.
AT-RT. I mean, I apologize. You're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah, you can keep going. I just had to correct you, you know.
You see there? Damn community.
Hey, help if me. I don't correct you now, the entire comment section will blow up.
It's true. I will openly admit I'm not the best with names, but I'd like to think I know most of my vehicles, particularly the Imperial ones, but hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much outlines everything from D23. I know we have one other piece of Star Wars content that is worth talking about, and it's coming, man.
I was shocked when we were talking about this yesterday. You said it was like, 2.5 weeks?
Two and a half weeks.
That's wild. Outlaws. Gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's, you know, it has its merits, and it has its, not controversies, but it has its issues. What are you thinking coming into 2.5 weeks out? You know, what they've put out so far, how you're feeling about it in general, you know, what do you plan on doing with it?
There's been a lot of negative news about this. Sure. As I was prepping for my Damathon, I watched some behind the scenes with Respawn making Jedi Fallen Order, and just the way that they ended up with negative news kind of by accident, even though they were trying their best to show things off the best they could, kind of gave me a little hope for Outlaws. I know that there's just a lot of negativity surrounding it, but hey, how many misses have we had when it comes to Star Wars games lately? like, honestly, a lot of them have been really solid. And even the ones that are, like, you know, not really solid, like Battlefront 2, they became solid later on. Like, now everyone loves Battlefront 2.
It really grew into something. Yeah.
And so, like, I think that as long as there's passionate people working on it, there'll be something for people to enjoy when it comes to the Star Wars universe, regardless. Now, I think the price points are ridiculous? Yes. But, you know,
hard agree.
There's only so much that we can do to stop that. And for those of you who are thinking about purchasing it with a pre-order, I'm going to say don't. Instead, what you should do is you should watch me play it 3 days early so you can decide for yourself if it's worth buying 3 days early, because I'm going to do it just for the sake of the content and being able to play it with you guys. But for you guys, maybe you can wait for those 3 days, but I will leave it up to you.
I will be watching Mr. Beaver stream, figuring it out. But I mean, the DLC doesn't look half bad. You know, you've got stories with Lando, stories with Hondo and Aka, you know, fan favorites, you know, bigger names in the Star Wars universe to kind of tie, you know, this new protagonist story. And I agree. It's been relatively negative, and you know, I'm hoping we'll see some similarities to other recent EA games in Star Wars, and hope that goes on. I think, like, the biggest one for me is I'm really hoping to see the Beast Companion of hers. I can't remember the name of it. I'm really hoping to see something BD level. You know, I like to talk about a co-hero rather than just a sidekick. You know, I hope that they have these moments that they get to highlight it. Now, how intelligent is it and how that works and is that realistic? We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, when it came to BD for Fallen Order, it took them like 3 years to do BD. Like, it was crazy how much work. They had like a specific person in charge of like the emotes for BD and like motion capture for it and all kinds of stuff. Like, it was crazy how much they put in.
Yeah, I mean, BD one is so full of character. His animations are so expressive. You can really a perfect showcase of a character without a voice, but has so much to say. You know, I put him in the leagues of like Ratchet and Clank, you know, not to get too far off topic, you know, very good dynamic between the two of them, rather than just I'm in charge or I'm the human or I'm the intelligent one, you need to listen to me. It is more of a cohesive relationship. But yeah, we'll see with Outlaws. I think with that, we should go to another Beaver Dam community question.
I mean, before we do that, I do want to ask you guys, what new content are you most excited for? Is it the, are you excited for Acolyte Season 2 that may or may not be happening? Is it one of these things from G23? Is it Outlaws? Maybe it's just GL Ahsoka Tano is what you're most excited for. Let us know in the comment section. Yeah. I'm kind of curious what people are excited for coming up in Star Wars.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know what you're passionate about. We want to know.
Yeah, and speaking of these questions we got from the community, we have a section in the Discord for our members called Answer the Damn Question, where our members can ask those questions, and so I'm going to go through, we are going to go through and see what we got here.
Yeah, go for it.
Got some interesting ones here.
I was trying to help you with the first one. Yeah, no, go for it.
Yeah, so, okay, the first one. How strong do you think the new GL will be? This is from Sty Fennec, who is a longtime watcher of Asteroid Mech, who's popped over to our channel quite a bit. So, I'm going to ask this to you. How strong do you think the new GL is going
to
be?
Oh, way to flip it. Way to flip it. I see you. In this game, in Galaxy of Heroes specifically, you know, again, we're looking at a mobile game. They're looking at their spreadsheets, their numbers. There's no way with this much investment, that we aren't looking at some kind of new meta or even a new echelon or new tier of meta.
We're doing a new enchilada.
It's going to be the Ahsoka enchilada. It's the Jedi ship, but it's a new skin. They're going to start doing skins in Sogo.
Cool.
Bikini Leia confirmed.
Mommy Mandalore win.
jokes aside, I think that it would be almost foolish of them to do anything less than what they did with Leia. With again, a whole nother tier of power where Leia you know, in the beginning, people really underestimated, I think, her defensive value. And she could knock out pretty much anything she wanted to on an offensive side. So, you know, what's the intent? What does the kit look like? We have no idea. But what I do know is if CG's good at one thing, they want the newest thing to be the best thing. And that's very rarely not the case.
I am calling it right now in the classic way that CG does things. She's going to come out. And she's not going to work at all.
Broken.
Yeah. Idea. And then she'll be reworked within a week, and she'll be semi-good, and then a month later, she'll be the best GL in the game. She's going to get the Leviathan treatment, you know? But there's also the possibility she comes out as a Leia. Either way, I think we're looking at...
Yeah.
It's going to be a top-level GL. I don't think they will necessarily, like, break the bank by any means. They're usually really good about making it a rock, paper, scissors battle, making GLs that are good or better. I'm actually curious if they're going to build in a way for Sith Eternal and JML to beat her as a way to incentivize JML and Sith Eternal as GLs, because they've kind of dropped off for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But
GKCK is only can bring JML up so high.
Yeah. Yeah. And so overall, I think she'll definitely be meta-defining. I don't think she'll be a flop by any means. Do I think she's going to be, like, the apex of GLs? I don't think so, because I think CG does a pretty good job of, you know, yes, there's a tier list of GLs, but overall, all the GLs can kill other GLs, and that's what's important.
Sure, sure.
So.
Being a Galactic Legend in and of itself... Yes, we can meme on Lord Vader and see all you want. We can talk about who's the best one, who's not. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we're still talking, you know, top 10 characters in the game, no matter how you're going to shake it. It's a consistent winner in terms of value. But yeah, I agree. You took the words out of my mouth. But that's the second part of it, is it might turn out to be a Leviathan broken in the beginning, and then they have to clean up their mess, if you will. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. All right, and our last community question for this episode.
We got one more that was added, right?
Oh, we have one more.
Yeah, wasn't there?
Oh, we do.
Which is from Apple E, who has been watching our channel for some time. What is the origin story of the Beaver Dam? In other words, what inspired your channel to be Beaver related? Now, people have made jokes about this constantly. Every time I do a collab with anyone that's, you know, over the age of 30, they immediately make jokes about it. But it's not for those reasons, I promise. When I was a kid...
I'm holding mine back, I promise.
I appreciate it. So, let's see, this would have been back in, like, 2007, 2008, so it's been a long time. I was making an Xbox Live username, and I was sitting there, and I was trying to think of something funny, and I thought there was all kinds of words that I thought were funny as a kid, like spontaneous combustion was one of my favorite phrases as a child. And so rabid, like frothing at the mouth, was always a funny word to me. And so I was like, oh yeah, rabid, and then something I've never seen before, but it's an animal, beaver. And so I was like, rabid beaver, that sounds hilarious. I don't know what it is or anything, but it sounds hilarious. And so I took that, and I always have been a fan of making stupid names for things. All of my usernames on Star Wars The Old Republic are an adjective and then a breakfast food: savage pancake, homicidal bacon, creepy crepe, all that kind of stuff. So
yeah that was deep lore from the Damathon.
yes And so I've always liked the funny names, and so I made Rabbit Beaver back then, and then you know, it continued from there. When I made this YouTube channel, it was just for fun. I wanted to show my buddy some clips that I took, but I couldn't send them over Discord because I didn't have Nitro.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, you know, I'll just make a YouTube video and then send him the link. And we talked about playing or having YouTube videos back in high school, me and Nexus. And so I made one, and then I sent it to him. He's like, oh, this is awesome. And so we started doing stuff with our YouTube channels, and I just kept the username because that would match my Xbox Live username, which I was recording on at the time. And then from there, expanding into the Beaver Dam, I was, you know, making this channel, started getting big, and I was like, okay, I gotta make a Discord. I gotta start building this into a community now, so that way we can start making this something. And I was like, looking at it, I was like, oh, what could I call, you know, my community? What would be a fun thing? And I'm like, I've always loved puns. And so when I thought of the whole damn thing, I was like, oh, Beaver Dam. That would be hilarious. And then I looked it up. I was like, okay, I got to check how demonetized am I going to get for this? And I looked it up and YouTube was like, damn is not a swear word according to us. I was like, yes, yes.
We're just talking about beaver dams, guys.
Yeah.
We're talking about how you generate electricity from the flowing of controlled water.
Yeah. Exactly. Even like the, DAMN, which is banned in this environment because we only talk about the beaver dam here. Correct. Like, even that is not a swear word according to YouTube. And so I'm like, sick. And so it's like the only swear word that's not. And so I was like, sick. And so it just works out. So even if they do misinterpret me and consider it the other word, it doesn't matter because I'm safe. And so it worked so well and everything just slid together so well. And then I started making the Discord and I was like, oh my gosh, the damn Discord. Even the name for this is alliteration. It's a pun. I love this so much. And so I've just rolled with it. And so it's worked out much better than I was assuming. It wasn't fully intentional, I'm going to be honest.
Sure, sure. So sometimes the best things just happen by chance. It's fun to see. And I love it personally. It's funny, Zach. Yeah. All right, so now for our next question and our last one. This is from a fellow content creator, the Asteroid Mech. Shout out for this one. Who is the worst Galaxy of Heroes YouTuber content creator that you've collabed with, excluding me?
Well, you see, I mean... Oh, wait, you're saying excluding you. I was about to say Asteroid Mech.
He thought about that.
That makes it hard. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. Asteroid Mech, I love you. Our collabs are always fun. The last one we did where we roasted each other's rosters was hilarious. But when it comes to collabs, I don't think there's ever been one that I've like hated or that's like the worst. I've had ones that seemed really wooden. Like we just didn't vibe very well just because, either I was new or they were new. And so it felt a little wooden and hard to go about. So obviously the answer is Lumar. but the two that I would love to do some more collabs with, because I felt like the first time was just a little wooden and I felt a little iffy with, would be Nooch Too Good and Matt Master, actually, which we've done. We brought Matt Master back on and he came on for the Damathon and it was a lot of fun. It was a good time and I feel like we vibed really well that time. It was just the first time I did it, I was still pretty new and it felt a little wooden. So I'd love to do some more with those guys and get more comfortable with them because I do love both of them. So
great answer. Thanks for the roast.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
Oh, it's a little early, but okay, sure.
That's about all we have for today. We've talked about some good Star Wars content. I'm excited for what's happening in Star Wars in general. There's so much happening.
Beaver, I think you're missing something.
Oh no, am I missing something? Oh my gosh, you're right. Yes, I'm excited for this.
It's like we hold each other accountable or something.
I'm so excited for this portion. Okay.
And I'm dreading it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited.
I almost didn't want to say it.
Oh, you should have. Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So, what are we doing?
So we're going to start talking about old Star Wars content in general. When it comes to the end of these streams, we want to just kind of go over some recent Star Wars content we're going through or, something to suggest to you guys to try out if you're interested and give you kind of a pitch. And so today I'm actually going to be pitching Lumar, a piece of Star Wars content. And to get a kind of a basis for you, I'm curious for you. Okay, so either we are looking at prequel,
my notes ready.
New content, or we're looking at something that has to do with original trilogy characters.
Oh, okay. So basically your choice. Three major timelines.
Yeah, you choose which of the three.
Let's do in chronological. Let's start with prequel, and then we'll do original trilogy, and then we'll do new content. How's that sound?
Do you want me to pitch all three, or do you want me to just pitch the first one?
One at a time.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do one.
Okay. So
give me at least a chance here in the next 2 weeks.
Fair enough, fair enough. Okay, so this one is a fairly new book when it comes to when it came out. It's by one of the best Star Wars authors that I found, especially in new canon. I really enjoyed her books. In fact, two of the books on this list of three that I just gave you are actually by her, and that's by Claudia Gray. And so this book is called Master and Apprentice. It is a book about Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. And honestly, one it's one of my favorites for the new canon books. I only read this probably about a year ago myself. Really enjoyed it. And so if you're ever sitting there wondering why Qui-Gon has this fixation on the Chosen One, you're sitting there asking yourself, why is Qui-Gon not part of the overall Jedi Council? Mentioned that he could have been part of it. This book kind of goes over that and also talks about Dooku's other apprentice that kind of helped shape who Qui-Gon is. As well as kind of helps you understand the difference between Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, because you see Obi-Wan as this much more stiff person throughout episode one. You know, you got to listen to the Council Master. We got to just get this done and go. Whereas Qui-Gon's much more free flowing. And so you see those two halves come to a head in this book and then try to like find their common ground. Really good book. So pre-episode one.
Okay, yeah, I'm excited. So basically, I'll be consuming the content of that book via, I'll either buy the book or maybe I'll listen to the audiobook depending on my time. And
it is free on Spotify if you have Spotify Premium. Ooh. So go listen to it on Spotify Premium.
Okay. Good to know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'll be consuming that content. And so when we come back next time, next episode in about 2 weeks from now, we will go over it briefly. You know, if I'm done with it, we'll talk about it in its whole. If not, then we'll just talk about up to where I am at, depending on it. So yeah, look forward to that. And hey, if you have a piece of Star Wars media you think we'd be interested in consuming, I haven't really read a lot of the books. Rabbit Beaver here has definitely consumed a bit more than me. You know, hey, leave in the comment. I'd love to hear what other piece of content that you're passionate about that you want to share with the community.
Mm-hmm. And I swear, ADP, if you tell me X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, I know it's on my list. I'll get to it, I promise.
I can feel the comment being written as this video goes up. I can feel it. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, that pretty much wraps up our first episode of a Damn Fine Discussion. I hope you guys had a great time. And again, if you enjoyed this, let us know. We want your feedback. So again, thumbs up the video if you liked it. If you didn't like it, tell us why. You know, let us grow with you and let us understand what's going on. So I hope you guys had a damn fine time with the King of Beavers over here, the Overlord. Yeah.
Big shout out to Lumar here. He's going to be helping out with some editing on the channel, as well as he's going to be helping out on these Damn Fine Discussions from here on out. We'll probably get some people in to replace him, like Scribe. No, I'm kidding. We might get a couple guests, but Lumar will be a permanent fixture.
I'm coming for you, Yotter. No, I'm kidding. Love you, Yotter. You're fine.
But thank you guys so much for watching. If you enjoyed this content, Lumar is going to be starting up his own channel here rather soon, so keep an eye out for that. And then, of course, you can subscribe here for more content like this. And we always love seeing people here in the beautiful Dam. Thank you guys so much, and you have a damn fine day.
Have a great one, guys.